people this evening about how weary some folks are, and I don't know about you, but that's my story too. That's a lot of the stories that we're hearing these days, that not just in this Christmas time, but in this time in general, there is a lot of hard stuff, a lot of attack, a lot of hardship, a lot of confusion, a lot of stuff. And we've come into this house of God this night in that place with that stuff, like Robert said. And if we believe in the magic of the gospel, then we believe that the Jesus that we've heard about in our gospel passage, who came to this earth so simply, so basically, so humbly, will in fact come to us this evening. Do you need him to come to you this evening? Our gospel passages over the last 4 weeks have essentially had 4 points that I have distilled. There are many other points in those passages. The first passage from Advent Sunday 1 was the passage where it talks about Christ coming in power and glory. How much do we need him to come into our lives tonight in power and in glory? Right now, would you ask the Lord to come with power and glory? Would you ask the Lord to come with power and glory to lift the heaviness, to heal, to restore, to give you what you need with power and glory from on high? The second passage is the passage that talks about making the mountains low and raising up the valleys and making the crooked places straight and making the rough places smooth. I don't know about you, but that describes my heart almost moment to moment. Mountains that seem like obstacles, valleys that seem insurmountable, crooked places that keep me from seeing where I'm going, and rough places that very often trip me up and keep me stumbling. Would you ask the Lord this evening to pull down those mountains, to raise up those valleys, to straighten out those crooked places, and to make the rough places smooth? Lord, would you do that in my heart so that your coming to me may be clean, unfettered, uninterrupted, and pure? The next passage from Advent 3 is a passage where Christ is having a big confrontation with the Pharisees, and so he confronts them about their legalism. And I think there is something in that passage for all of us where we need to be reminded that we are judgers of others, and that the way we judge others is from our position of goodness. We look at them and we say, because I am better than you, I have the right to stand over you in judgment. And when the hearers of John's message in that third gospel passage heard it, all they could do is ask John, what can we do? What should we do? What ought we to do? And in those places in our lives where we have identified that judgment, that Pharisaical, that part of us that wants to say that we're better, that we know better, that we are better, that we have better theology, that we're better people, let the Lord come into that place. And may we be humble enough to ask him, Lord, what should we do? And he will show us those very specific places in our lives where we need to be saying, Lord, forgive me. Or, brother, forgive me. Sister, forgive me. Friend, forgive me. And the last gospel passage is the passage where The angel comes to Mary and proclaims this wondrous thing that is going to happen with her, and he declares over her this blessing above blessings. And we have this passage called the Magnificat. This is the only place in the Gospels where this passage exists. And I've said before in one of my sermons that when Luke interviewed Mary, I think that her heart was so full of holding on to these deep things, that she had been holding on to these things for so long, and they were ready to burst forth. And so when Luke asked her about that encounter with that angel, I believe that her heart just burst forth with the Magnificat, which begins, "My soul magnifies the Lord my God. Wondrous are his ways. He has done great things for me." Can we pause for a moment this evening and just let our souls reach out and magnify the Lord, who has done great and marvelous things for us? Could we ask him, show us more in this coming year of who you are in those places in our lives? Let me close with a passage from one of my favorite little devotional books. Arden lets me borrow it on occasion when I'm at home, and I have one on my desk at the office. Make this our prayer. As you wait attentively in my presence, the light of the knowledge of my glory shines upon you. This radiant knowledge transcends all understanding. It transforms every fiber of your being, renewing your mind, cleansing your heart, invigorating your body. Open yourself fully to my presence. Be awed by my glorious being. Try to imagine what I gave up when I came to earth as a baby. I set aside my glory so that I could identify with mankind. I accepted the limitations of infancy under the most appalling conditions, a filthy stable. That was a dark night for me, even though the angels lit up the sky proclaiming glory to the awestruck shepherds. When you sit quietly with me, the process I went through is reversed in your experience. As you identify with me, heaven's vistas open up before you, granting you glimpses of my glory. Because I became poor so that you might become rich, sing alleluias to my holy name. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would come to us in the ways that we have talked about this evening. Lord, we need you. We need you desperately in the midst of these places in our lives that are dark and troubling. We ask, Lord, that you would come in power and glory. We ask that you would pull down the mountains, raise up the valleys, that you would straighten out the crooked places, and that you would make the rough places smooth. We ask that you would help us see the Pharisee in us, and bring us to that place of, Lord, what should we do? And most of all, Lord, as we leave this evening in this wonder, may our souls magnify your holy name, for you have done great things for us. Amen.